Sean Campbell from TSN 690 joins us in Montreal. Sean, Carey Price's numbers against Tampa Bay are, you know, average at best, which is odd considering how great he was against everybody else. What is it about Tampa that has given Price and the Habs fits this season?
It's mainly their speed, and it's a weird thing to say because the Montreal Canadiens are a fast hockey team. They're one of the fastest teams in the Eastern Conference, but man, Tampa Bay really takes it to that Montreal defense core, and that's kind of where they can take advantage of it, and then they kind of get them out of whack, out of system, and they're able to capitalize on Carey Price. They really take advantage of some nice coaching decisions from John Cooper all season long against Michel Therrien, kind of won that battle as well. It's Tampa is a scary, you know, thought for Montreal, and I'm sure a lot of Montreal Canadiens fans last night, they were absolutely cheering for Detroit to pull out that victory because Canadiens were undefeated against the Detroit Red Wings in the regular season. But the talk today from the Montreal Canadiens was, hey, playoffs are a different season than the regular season. We beat them in the playoffs last year. Of course, they did not have Ben Bishop in that series, but Canadiens swept the Lightning, and that was after a season. Once again, Tampa swept them in the regular season as well last year. So I think that they're coming with the right attitude heading into the series.
Sean, I'd expect the Canadiens and Price from top to bottom to say that. Do you think they really believe it, though?
Yes, I do. I really do. This is a veteran team. They don't have any Stanley Cup rings on their roster, but this is a team that is the core has gone through some playoff experiences. Their first round loss 2 years ago to the Ottawa Senators, their playoff run to the conference finals last year until Carey Price got hurt. And I think that that experience has really carried them. They know, you know, a 5-1 loss in the playoffs is the same thing as a triple overtime 3-2 loss. They understand that. They don't get too high. They don't get too low. They understand that Tampa Bay is going to be difficult. They knew Ottawa was going to be difficult, even when they were up 3-0. They knew that closing out the series was going to be very difficult against a team like that. And I think that they have the right mentality going into the series. Now, can they do it out on the ice? That's another thing. But I think in their head, I don't think that they're thinking Tampa's in their head. They're wary that they haven't beaten them this year, but they do feel that they've been very competitive, and there were a couple games were just one-goal games.
Sean, you look at you know, Tampa Bay, and even last night, I'm not sure they – I don't think they played great against Detroit in that game. I know they got the shutout, but you know, Tampa Bay has not looked as comfortable in that series against Detroit, and maybe it was Mike Babcock's schemes because Tampa wasn't able to really generate much through the neutral zone. I'm wondering, do you think that Therrien will take a page out of that book and maybe alter how he defends them?
Yeah, I'm sure he's going to watch a lot. And you know what, Michel Therrien has talked about how as a team, they watched pretty much every game of that series. They got together last night, every single player and all the coaches, and watched Game 7 together last night. And it's interesting because everybody was cheering for Detroit, and I'm like, watching Detroit do what they did to Tampa and Steven Stamkos, they had trouble with Tyler Johnson. And I'm like, if they're, you know, they have a couple shutouts, they're really shutting down the offense that is Tampa Bay, the most offensive team in the National Hockey League. And then if they were to face Detroit, what would Detroit do to Montreal? They'd have 5 shutouts in a series. It would have been, you know, the way that they were shutting down Tampa Bay because Montreal struggles to score anyways. But I think Michel Therrien will take a little bit of what he saw from Mike Babcock. I know that today at practice, we were broadcasting live today, and the Canadiens were working on slowing the opposition up in the neutral zone. They did a neutral zone only drill, and they wanted to make sure that, you know, you were really forcing them at the blue line, not letting them, you know, skate right by you. And I think that's one of the things the Canadiens will want to do. We heard John Cooper after Game 6. Detroit is the team that, you know, creates the most interference that never gets called. I would expect the Montreal Canadiens will want to do the same thing to the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Well, if they can get the same look from the officials, maybe there's a chance they can do that, because you're right, Detroit gets a lot of slack. One way to look at this, though, Tampa looks a lot deeper up front to me in this sense. Stamkos didn't do a lot, but Tyler Johnson did. There was a time when if you could shut down Stamkos, you were in pretty good shape. Not so this group of Lightning forwards.
Oh, it's a scary group. It's a very scary group. We asked the question today on Off the Cuff with Chris Nyland, and we were just saying, which player scares you the most? And the answer was Tyler Johnson. you would think a team with Steven Stamkos would be the number one answer from everybody, you know, heading into a series against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Steven Stamkos was not the number one. If it wasn't Johnson, they were worried about Kucherov and then Andre Palat. And then you got to get through Ben Bishop as well and the Canadians. And, you know, we talked about the numbers that Carey Price put up against Tampa Bay. It's probably inflated the other way for Ben Bishop's numbers, who is in his career, even from when he played in Ottawa, is incredible numbers against the Montreal Canadiens. It's quite impressive. So, but yeah, the depth that they have up front, matchups are going to be incredibly tough for the Montreal Canadiens. Today at practice, they had Jeff Petrie with PK Subban, at least for the power play, and a lot of people are clamoring for that to be a pairing 5-on-5 to go against Johnson, because they feel that Tyler Johnson, if he gets the pairing of Markov and Subban, they're just going to take advantage of Markov's speed. Markov is a great positional guy, but he does not have the speed to go with a Tyler Johnson. But then if not, you got to deal with Steven Stamkos and his speed. So yeah, that depth on that team is very impressive up front. One of the reasons why they were so dynamic offensively.
Sean Campbell joining us from TSN in Montreal. Habs and the Bolts get going tomorrow night. What about injury front for the Habs now? Are they fine?
The injuries?
Yeah.
Well, they have Nathan Beaulieu. That's it. And I think they want his skating in that lineup against the Tampa Bay Lightning. However, he's going to be out for the first four games no matter what. And that's from the hit from Erik Karlsson. Now, it's called an upper body injury. A lot of people are looking at shoulders and or collarbone for this guy, because he's skating real hard and he's out there on the ice and he's, you know, moving the puck really well, but he's not taking any shots whatsoever. So he's a guy that they would like to have back. They brought Greg Patterson in, who's been great. He's more physical than anything else. But at the same time, that's really it when it comes to injuries of the Montreal Canadiens. They're a healthy team. They've got guys who are banged up. But Nathan Beaulieu is the only guy, which I think they'd want in the series, but they're not going to have.
Sean, I mean, these two teams are close. It doesn't matter that it was a series sweep. Close games in there. And like you say, the Habs have prevailed in the postseason. But when I look at Montreal, the one thing it seems to me they've got to take advantage of, they've got to be better on the power play, because they don't blow teams away 5-on-5.
No, and sitting at 5% through round one, 1-for-20 is not good enough when you have PK Subban, Andre Markov, Max Pacioretty as part of a core group that can run a power play. Many teams would dream to have three players like that to base your power play off of, and not being able to contribute offensively. It's been the story all year. Their power play wasn't great all year. They had a snippet of games early January when they went on a run, but other than that, it's been a tough go with these players. A lot of people know where the shots come with PK Subban. Like I said, for the power play at practice, they changed things up and they've split Markov and Subban up on different units. They did that halfway through the year, and you know when that was? It was early January when they had success with the power play. So we'll see if that turns into more success against Tampa Bay, but I think the Canadians are just hoping that Tampa's power play sucks like it has, you know, in their first round series. They did not do too well against the Detroit Red Wings. Mm-hmm. They're going to want to do better on the power play. So yeah, they need to improve it. They've been working on it hard every single practice, but they cannot find a solution. And that's been the worry all season long.
You talked earlier about, switching up the defense pairings and Jeff Petrie 5-on-5 for Montreal. The way he's played, Oiler fans are, many of them are distraught because they got a second round pick and a fourth rounder and maybe a third if Montreal wins this series. Any chance he re-signs in Montreal, or is this a guy who's playing himself even into a bigger ticket in free agency?
All right. Well, you guys would know, right? I'm sure people in Edmonton wanted to keep him, and they understood that they had to trade him, right? So when he was traded, he was kind of, around a $4 million defenseman?
Well, his cap hit was about three, but
UFA, he would have been, like in UFA, when he was playing with Edmonton, if he hit the free agent market, he probably would have been a $4 million mm-hmm. defenseman.
Yeah, four and a half.
Yeah, I think the way he's been playing in the playoffs and what he's done with the Canadiens since the trade, he's definitely hit five and five plus. And to me, I don't know if the Canadiens can afford that in the offseason. I think the question was asked to Mark Bergevin. He said, look, I'm not going to touch on it. But he's like, I really like Jeff Petrie. That's all he really said. He's like, I'm not going to talk contracts with you guys. Mark Bergevin spoke to the media yesterday. But I don't know if they can afford it. Unless they can get rid of Alexi Gamelin, they'll sign him in a heartbeat. But I don't know if they're going to be able to get rid of Alexi Yemelin. And I think Jeff Petrie is a smart guy, knowing that on July 1st, he may be one of the most coveted defensemen out there. And we see what happens on July 1st with some of these free agent defensemen. He's going to get paid. He'll get a six-year, $5 million contract easily. And how hard is that to turn down $30 million just like that, guaranteed? I think he's been great. I'm curious if he's going to stay with the Montreal Canadiens. But, you know, the more you win with a team, the more you feel like you want to stay. So we'll see if that happens. So maybe if Edmonton wants to spend some money, you can have him back.
It's an interesting one. Now with Chiarelli back, you know what? That might change some things. I don't think that's completely out of the realms of possibilities. So we'll kind of have to wait and see what happens on the back end for both of them. I appreciate your time.
Anytime, guys.